James 1, 17 to 21. If you've ever, sadly he's gone now, but if you'd ever met my father-in-law, you would know that one of these great rules of life, that duct tape and string will fix almost anything. Plus a passing disregard for earth wires when he was wiring a plug. And I knew that one by experience. And I discovered on more than one occasion, it doesn't work like that. And I was reading a story back in 2017. There was a man in Alaska who attempted to cross the ice gap to Russia. You know, you've got Alaska and you've got Russia, big bit of ice in the middle. It gets soft for about a month of the year. And he thought he could do it on a homemade inflatable raft covered with duct tape to protect it. He put the raft into the water with a paddle and put his dog on it. He didn't even have a life jacket on it. Now, according to a local news outlet, the weather was calm. It was only 9 miles per hour. But the Coast Guard just said, no, I'm sorry. Good try, but you're not going to do it. And they went out and got him and they brought him back. The phrase they used was, they deemed the craft unsafe. And they transferred it to the man and his dog back to harbour. Deemed the craft unsafe. That's wonderfully understated, isn't it? And actually, a lot of people try to make it through life like that, trusting in their own makeshift schemes. My father-in-law, and then they wonder why they can't stay afloat. There's got to be a better way, though, than this duct tape approach to life. And there is. Now, you've got Bibles in front of you, and I can ask you to have them open. Turn with me to James 1, where the Bible really does show us a better way. Before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. They're not makeshift. They're not just held together with string and chewing gum. They're your words, Lord. May we hear them, take them in, and use them for the rest of our lives. Amen. Amen. So there, James 1, 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. And yes, Barry, I'm going through it verse by verse. So he told me to. Instead of blaming God for your problems, as it says there in verse 13, the Bible encourages you to praise God for your blessings. If you're going to pass the tests of life and come out on the other side of your trials a better person, then you need to look to that unchanging God. Take your eyes off your problems. Focus your attention on the Lord, who's always good. Fix your eyes on the Heavenly Father, who always gives us good gifts. Gifts for his children. God is not like the shadow of a sundial, which is constantly changing. God's not even like the sun, the moon, or the stars, the lights in the sky, whose positions are constantly changing with regard to the earth. No, God is the unchanging creator of those lights, who could always be counted on to give gifts to his children, even in their pain. And that's the perspective I think we need to have if we're going to come out on the other side of our trials a better person. There's a wonderful author, I read quite a bit of it, a guy called James Ayton, who's a doctor. He's also a cancer survivor and a Christian. And he researches on how people respond to trauma. And part of my work in the past is that I dealt with massive trauma in injured people. And his work has always been quite inspirational for me. Sadly, his last paper he wrote in 2016, and he titled it Spiritual Advice for Surviving Cancer and Other Disasters. This is what he had to say. Most of us operate from what some researchers refer to as a just worldview. We tend to believe that if we are good, good things will happen. And it's difficult then to make sense out of life when bad things happen to us. And James said, I went to the doctor for tests because of shooting pains in my legs. I never dreamed it was from a cancer mass sitting on a nerve bundle in my pelvis. It was difficult for me to wrap my head around what had happened. Thoughts like, wasn't I a good person, plagued me. And one of his colleagues worked with a relief agency to help the survivors of Superstorm Sandy. You remember the one that hit the east coast of America? One of the men she met had his roof blown away by the gale strength winds. He surprised the relief team when he told them, sometimes you have to lose the roof to see the stars. He found meaning in his loss. I thought, what a wonderful way to put it. Not yet, Lord. But keep this one. Aitken and his colleagues have interviewed many, many disaster survivors about their views of God. And they found there are basically two ways these people view God. There are those who believe God saved them, and there are those who believe God is punishing them. There are people who went through the same disaster, but they have two very different views of God. Aitken found out that those who have a negative view of God are probably more likely to struggle a great deal more. So he's encouraging his readers, and this was a paper that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. So it was, you know, they are the publishers for medical things. And he finished it with, even in the worst moments, look for the stars. In fact, maybe better yet, look beyond the stars to the one who made the stars. Look to the unchanging God who always gives good gifts to his children. Look to the unchanging God who gave you a new life when you put your trust in Jesus, his son. And it goes on, James 1:18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Literally, of his own will, he gave birth to us. He begat us. He caused us to be born. He caused us to be born again. Sin gives birth to death. Verse 15 says, God, on the other hand, gives birth to life, a new life in Christ. So when you go through rough times, please understand that God is not punishing you for your sins. He can't be doing that because God has already punished his own son for our sins on the cross. No, God's not punishing you. Rather, God has saved you from your sins and has given you a new life. Therefore, the trials are designed not as a punishment for sin, but as tools to help you grow in your new life in Christ. What a great life that could be. Look again at verse 18. Of his own will, he brought us forth. God caused you to be born again by his own will. That means he wanted you in his family. Think about a married couple. Imagine, they've tried for years to conceive, their arms are empty, their hearts ache, and they see other mums and dads with their children. The news comes that they are expecting. And when that baby's born, they just can't contain their joy. That's God's attitude to you. He wants you. He wanted you. He's always wanted you. He caused you to be born again by his will. He caused to be born again by his own word. He chose, there in verse 18, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. God's word is the word of truth. And it's absolutely essential to bring about new life in Christ. The Spirit of God uses the word of God to cause people to be born again. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It's not human words that inspire true faith. It's God's word. It's what we say at the end of a Bible reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God caused you to be born again by his own will and his own word. Why? Well, God caused you to be born again to be his very best. There it is in verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of the truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. The first fruits are the best fruits, the choicest fruits. I don't know if you grow fruit or anything. I grow strawberries. I love growing strawberries. But there is something about that first strawberry of the season that just tastes so good. Another thing, my father used to grow peas. I used to love when the first peas were ready to sneak in there and open that pod and have some. The choicest fruits. God caused you to be born again so you could be the best of all his creatures. And that's the reason for some of these trials in your life. He designs them not to tear you down, but to build you up, to make you one of his very best creatures. But sometimes when it's actually happening to you, it really doesn't feel like that, does it? We've had moments where we thought to ourselves, I just can't take any more of this. Why is this happening again? What is going on with me? And I know, because it's happened to me, sometime later I've looked back and I thought, so that's what you're up to, Lord. That's what you needed me to do. There's a nurse called Joni Tada, and she writes a book called A Place of Healing, where she reflects on how we tend to worry that the cares, troubles, and affliction of life wear us down, dulling our joy, diluting our hope, and robbing us of the radiance we once experienced as believers. In fact, she writes, it may be the very opposite. It isn't the hurts, blows, and bruises that rob us of the freshness of Christ's beauty in our lives. More likely, it is careless ease, empty pride, earthly preoccupations, and too much prosperity that will put layers of dirty film over our souls. She describes one time when she went to Paris to see the Notre Dame Cathedral many, many years ago. And when she got there it was. She said, wow, 1,000 years old, standing there, so huge and black. I don't know if you've ever seen the old photographs of the Notre Dame. It was as black as your hand. Filthy. She'd never seen such a dirty cathedral. It's hundreds of years of soot, dust and smoke, a bit like a lot of our buildings were in London. There was Notre Dame, covered in layers of grime. And it went through a huge, long restoration. Scaffolding was erected, and the entire exterior was sandblasted away. Then she describes going back and being stunned when she saw a recent photograph of the cathedral. It was beautiful. So very different from the way she remembered it. The ancient stones glowed bright and golden. She could see carvings, details that had been totally invisible. It's amazing what a bit of sandblasting can achieve. And when I think of that process, how it changed that cathedral in Paris, I can't help but consider the way God uses suffering to sandblast you and me. There's nothing like real hardship to strip off the veneer in which you and I so carefully cloak ourselves. Heartache and physical pain reach below the superficial surface places of our lives, stripping away years of accumulated indifference and neglect. When pain and problems press up against a holy God, though, suffering can't help but strip away years of dirt. Affliction is a way of jackhammering our character. But the beauty of being stripped down to the basics, sandblasted as you are until we reach a place where we feel empty and helpless, is that God can and will fill us up with himself. When pride and pettiness have been removed, God can fill us with Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is in the process of making you into one of his very best creatures. So let him sandblast away until the beauty of Christ shines through. If you want to pass the tests of life and come out the other side of your trials a better person, then look to the unchanging God. But don't stop with just looking. Don't stop with just admiring this wonderful thing that's happening. You've got to listen. You've got to listen to what God has to say. Pay attention to his word as it's written. Pay attention to his word as it's spoken. In fact, to put it more bluntly, open your ears, shut up and hold your temper. That's actually what the Bible says, honest. James 1:19-20. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. In fact, these verses are actually a summary of the whole book of James. The rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2 describe what it means to hear God's word. Chapter 3 talks about controlling the tongue, being slow to speak. And chapter 4, along with the first 12 verses of chapter 5, describe how to control your anger. That's the message of the book of James. You want to pass those tests of life, you must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We'll look at each of these in depth as we make our way through the book of James. Please do. It's not that big a book. It's there. Read it. If you want to come out on the other side of your trials a better person, open your ears to what God has to say and really listen to his word. Really listen. Think about that. Now, an example is, there's a wonderful story I tell some of my clients. There was a husband, and he, after much commenting about how loud the TV, etc., was by his family, he was persuaded by his wife to get his hearing tested. So he became convinced he was losing his hearing. So off he went to Boots, got his free hearing test. And a bloke doing a hearing test pulled out an old-fashioned ticking watch at the end of it all and said, "Can you hear this?" He went, "Yeah, of course." He walked out the door and asked the question again. The man concentrated and said, "Oh, yeah, I can hear it quite clearly." The doctor walked into the next room and repeated the question a third time. The man said, yeah, I can still hear it. He looked the man in the face and said, "There's nothing wrong with your hearing. You've got male pattern deafness. You just don't listen." Yeah, hands up. I remember when Anne and I were first married, sometimes she would ask me to do something, I just kind of blew it off. I got busy with my own agenda and forgot all about it. Then later in the day, she would ask if I'd done it, and I would say, "What? I don't remember you asking me to do anything." Yeah, we're all nodding chaps, aren't we? Yeah, we've been there. It actually happened so often that I went to have a hearing test. I thought there must be something wrong with her ears. I'm really not hearing this woman. But the problem wasn't my hearing. I just wasn't listening. Actually, it still happens today, but I've got hearing aids now. I just don't always wear them. But it's this thing about not listening that is so important. You hear, but you don't really listen. It's bad enough when you do it to others, but when you do it to God, it's even worse. You can get so busy with your own agenda that you forget what God has asked you to do in his word. And then you wonder why things go from bad to worse. The best athletes in the world have learnt the value of listening. Stuart Hogg is one of the best rugby players in the world. Yes, he's a Scotsman. But he still listened to his coaches. "I love being coached," he said. "I love talking rugby with smart coaches. I love the input, the dialogue, the conversation." And Gregor Townsend, who is his head coach, another great Scottish rugby player, just said that Hoggy, for that's what he was known as, is a really good student. He wants to be coached and he likes to be coached hard. Wouldn't it be great if that was us? Listening is the way to get better, and listening is the way any of us grow, especially when you're in trouble, as I keep telling my grandson. So if you want to come out the other end of your trials a better person, be quick to hear and be slow to speak. In times of trouble, learn to control your tongue. Shut your mouth before you stick your foot in it. There's a story about a clerk at a fresh vegetable department in a supermarket. A lady came up to him and said she wanted to buy half a head of lettuce. Anyway, he did try to dissuade her. "Yeah, half a head of lettuce? Yeah." But she persisted. He said, "Let me go and talk to the manager, madam." And off he went to the real store to talk to the manager, not noticing she was following. When he got into the store, he spoke to the manager and said, "You know, there's some stupid old bint out there who wants to buy half a lettuce. What should I tell her?" Seeing the terrified look on the face of the manager, he turned about, and seeing a woman added, "And this nice lady wants to buy the other half. Will that be all right?" Considerably relieved, the manager said, "That would be fine. Your tongue can get you into a lot of trouble." And it has. I put my hands up to it. Blurted out things before I thought. Engaged my mouth before I engaged my brain. In the heat of the moment, you can say things you later regret. So be slow to speak. Think about what you want to say before you say it. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Hold your temper, because your anger will not make things better. Look at verse 20 again. "Because human anger," it says there, "does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Your anger will not make things better. In fact, it only makes things worse. And we're all familiar to these stories where tempers get out of control. It's, you know, you hear the ones about the passengers on the aeroplane. They begin to argue with the airline employee, so much so that the plane has to land and the person gets dragged off, left behind somewhere, and the flight carries on. Recently, there was a woman in America who held a very high appointment, and she kept saying to the policeman, "Do you not know who I am?" And he didn't know who she was. And she kept showing a badge and saying, "You've got to do this," and started poking him in the chest. Rule one. Don't get angry with a policeman and start poking him in the chest. It all went badly wrong for her. The anger does not make things right. In fact, it only makes things worse. So what do you do when you feel you've been wronged? What do you do when you're upset because life doesn't seem fair? Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Don't take matters into your own hands. Instead, I ask you, look to the Lord, who's always good, and listen to him. Just trust and obey the Lord. It's the only way to get better, not bitter in your trials. I wrote this some while ago, and I've been refining it. And then last week we sang the hymn at the 10:30. And when you hear these words, this tune will stick with you for the rest of the night, I promise. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he does richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Amen.